Bible reading is from Gospel according to Luke, Lucas chapter 9. In Luke 9 we will read verses 57 through 62. Lucas chapter 9, beginning at verse 57. Lucas 9, verse 57. Habang naglalakad sila sa daan ay may nagsabi sa kanya, ako'y susunod na iyo saan ka man magpunta. At sinabi sa kanya ni Jesus, ang mga asong gubat ay may mga lunga at ang mga ibon sa impapawid ay may mga pugad, subalit ang anak ng tao ay walang mapahiligan man lamang ng kanyang ulo. Sinabi niya sa iba, sumunod ka sa akin. Subalit siya'y sumagot, Panginoon, hayaan mo muna akong umalis at ilibing ko ang aking ama. Subalit sinabi ni Jesus sa kanya, hayaan mong ilibing ng mga patay ang kanilang sariling patay. Subalit para sa iyo, umayo ka at ipahayag mo ang kaharian ng Diyos. And now verses 61 and 62. These are the words of our text. At sinabi naman ng isa pa, ako'y susunod sa iyo, Panginoon. Subalit, hayaan mo muna akong magpaalam sa mga nasa bahay ko. Subalit, sinabi sa kanya ni Jesus, walang sinumang humahawak sa araro at tumitingin sa mga nasa likuran ang karapat-dapat sa kaharian ng Diyos. Words of our text there in Luke 9 verses 61 and 62. I will read those also in English. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Church of the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth, beloved, needs good members. Church needs members who are spiritually strong. Church needs members who love the Lord Jesus Christ. Church needs members who are spiritually minded and not earthly minded. Church needs members who love the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ so that the Church has a priority in their lives. The Church of Jesus Christ needs members who love the truth of the Word of God. And the Church needs members, therefore, who are devoted to the Church, committed to the Church, members who are always involved in the life of the Church, and members who are faithful every Sunday, lingo lingo, in the worship services of the Church of Christ. And the Church needs members who therefore are faithful, and members who remain faithful, members who continue to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and who never abandon Christ, never abandon His Church, never abandon abandon his truth, never abandon his word or anything else. Christ is first, always. Now the church needs young people and young adults who are like that. The church needs young people and young adults like that because young people and young adults, you who are here today, are the future church here. Future heads of households, the future mothers in Israel, the future leaders in the Church of Christ, those who will raise the next generation. This church needs young people and young adults who are committed members of this congregation of Christ. The church also needs adults who are committed. The church cannot continue without such members in her midst. And therefore the command of Christ given in the text is a command that all of us need to hear. Sunden si Jesus adwagnan luminon pa. Follow Jesus and don't look back. Let's look at this word of God together then with the theme Sumasunod kai Jesus nam hindi lumilingon. And we'll notice the desire to follow him, the warning not to look back, and finally the incentive to be faithful. During the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, there were many. There were literally thousands of people who were interested in him. Thousands of people who wanted to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Thousands of people who were so taken in by his preaching and teaching that they said, "We've never heard anyone preach like this before." And they couldn't get enough. They couldn't get enough. And thousands as well that were astounded, amazed by Jesus' miracles. They'd never seen anyone perform the things that Jesus Christ had done. The blind could see, the deaf could hear, the dumb could speak, the lame could walk. The lepers had a new life. The dead were raised again. So many wanted to follow Jesus Christ, and many wanted to be his disciples. We see here in the passage of the Word of God that we have read, verse 57 and following, that there were three such men interested in being disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. They wanted to be with him. They wanted to follow him. They wanted to consider him as their master, their teacher, and they would be his servants with him wherever he went. That was true of the man that is mentioned in the text. He says to Jesus, "Lord, I will follow you. I will. I will do that." But what this man says, what this man says is, first of all, commendable. Kapuri puri ang pagnanais ng taong ito. It was praiseworthy. He said a good thing. And it was praiseworthy because for him to do this would mean sacrifice, self-sacrifice. That's what it would mean for him to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He would leave behind his home. He would leave behind his family. He would leave behind his friends. He would lay aside his work, his daily source of income. And now he would be a disciple of Christ, denying himself, sacrificing all the comforts of earthly life, and being now a servant to Jesus Christ. man was willing. In fact, so commendable is what he says that this, of the three men mentioned here in Luke chapter 9, is the man who offers to do it. He wasn't asked. He didn't say this as a result of being persuaded by someone else. He simply stepped forward and he said, "Lord, I will follow thee. I will take up my cross. I will deny myself. I will forsake all that is earthly, and I will be thy disciple." Commendable confession. But even though what he says is commendable, the desire of this man was not pure. It was not sincere. And that's because my na is muna shan unahen. This man wanted, first of all, to do something else. And he uses in his request the word but. But. Subalit. In other words, he comes with this request, but he has a condition. He lays a condition before the Lord Jesus Christ. "I will follow, but first something else." First something else. And his request is that he be able to return home and bid farewell to his family. And we would say, well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Isn't that reasonable? If this man is now going to sacrifice all these things, give up all these things, surely it's okay for him just to quickly run home and say goodbye to his family. Shouldn't he let his family at least know that this is what he's going to do? And say goodbye to them, ka'ala, bid farewell. Well, it may seem that way, but obviously this man's request to bid farewell to his family is wrong. You only have to see how the Lord Jesus Christ responds to his request to realize that. And why was it wrong? Bucket? It was wrong because this man lays down the terms by which he will follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, yes, nam kaung ito na maglagay ng kasunduan kung saan ay susundin niya si Kristo. He wants to set the terms. He wants to put forward some stipulations. And specifically, he wants to set the timetable. He's basically saying to Jesus, "Lord, I will follow you, but not now. Not yet. Not yet. I will do it later. First, I have some other things to do. I have to take care of a few earthly matters. And I have to go home now. I'll leave for a little while. But I'll be back. And then I'll be ready. I'm not ready yet. I first want to take care of some earthly matters. Bid farewell to my family." He thinks these other earthly things are more important than Jesus. That's his sin. That's his problem. He does not realize that to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ means total self-denial. He is not willing to forsake everything in order to follow Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ makes clear, if you're going to follow me, it is now. Now. Not later, but now. And this man doesn't want to do it now. That is his fault, his error. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ answers this man. Sinagog ni Kristo ang lalaki sa paggamit ng isang pamilya at kapansin-pansing paglalaroan. An interesting and a striking and a familiar figure. When he says in verse 62, that he who follows Christ and puts his hands to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. Verse 62. Valan Shimon Mahawaksa Araro Atumitinin Samananasa Likuran and Karapata Patsa Kaharian Namdos. The Lord Jesus Christ, in that illustration, Ladawan, is teaching us, first of all, that to follow him means you put your hand to the plow. And you keep your hand on the plow. He uses the figure of the plowmen with the plows they used in his day, his time on earth. Very similar to the plows that I've seen here in the Philippines, Sabukid. It's not a tractor, but it's a single furrow plow, and it's pulled by a karabah, and it's hand operated, and the man who's plowing the field has to put his hands to the plow and keep them there. He has to guide that plow through the field as it is pulled by the karabah. The plow is not behind him, the plow is in front. He must hold it, he must steer it, he must keep it upright and straight, and he must be single-minded, committed to doing the work that is in front of him, heading forward, going straight on in his work. Put his hands on the plow and keep them there. It's the only way that he can get and will get his work done. So Jesus teaches us, first of all, that that's what it means to follow him. We must put our hands to the plow. That is, we must put our hands on the plow of the Word of God. That's the plow that we must hold to. That's the plow that we must be focused on. That's the plow that must be always before our minds in everything that we do in life. Looking at the Word, following Christ through His Word, doing the will of Christ as given us in His Word, following the leading of the Lord Jesus Christ as set forth for us in the Bible. And therefore, being in His church too. In His church where His Word is found. In His church where His Word is preached. And not just in any church, but in the church that is faithful to the Word of Christ. In the church where the truth of the gospel is proclaimed every Lord's Day. That's what it means for us to put our hands to the plow. So our calling as the people of God is to focus on being that kind of disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know, of course, it's only by His grace that we have His Word. It's only by His grace that we believe His Word. It's only by His grace and as a great gift from Him that that truth is preached here in this congregation of the people of God. It's His work that really takes our hands and puts our hands on the plow of His Word. Christ does that. But He puts before us the calling to follow Him. To put our hands on that plow and to keep them there by obeying His Word, doing His will, never letting go of that Word, never swerving to the right or to the left, but confessing Jesus Christ is my Savior, Jesus Christ is my Lord. I will do His will. I will follow Him in my life. A faithful, a committed, a devoted disciple of Christ and member of His church. In doing that, beloved, we must not be like the man in our text. The man in our text made conditions, made stipulations. The man in our text wanted to follow Jesus on his own terms and not on Christ's terms. We must not do that. It's not proper for us to say, I will follow the Lord Jesus Christ when it is convenient for me. It's not right for us to say, I will follow the Lord Jesus Christ when what He demands of me in His Word is not too difficult for me to obey. But if His commands do not suit me, then I'm going to go this way instead. We may not say that. Nor may we say, I will follow the Lord Jesus Christ, His Word, His will, His leading. I will be a member of His church only if I'm not mocked for that. Only if I do not have to stand alone as a believer. Only if I can be amongst others who stand with me. That's not being a true disciple of Christ. But a true disciple of Christ says what Martin Luther said. Here I stand, even though he had to stand alone at that point. But we must say, I will follow Jesus on His terms, the way His Word says. I will put aside my will, put aside my wishes, put aside my desires, put aside my preferences in life, put aside my selfish and unbiblical goals and purposes in life. Put aside all my earthly pursuits that are a greater priority to me than the Word of Christ. And now I will follow Him. I will follow Him. He, the one goal and purpose of my life. His Word, my one guide and leader in life. I will follow Him. That, beloved, is what you and I must say and must do. Then Jesus gives us a warning. An babala na tuat lumino. The warning not to look back. This really is the main point in Christ's answer to this man. Said to the man that someone who follows him not only puts his hands to the plow, but he also does not look behind him. Now, a plowman, as he is plowing the field, can be very well tempted to look behind him. He wants to look behind him because he wants to see how good his work is. What is it like behind him? Are the rows good? Is the plowing effective? But the plowman understands that if he starts doing that, as he's holding the plow, the carabao is pulling it along, and he is steering the carabao in a straight line, if he looks back, then he will veer a course. If he looks back, he will no longer have a straight furrow in his field. He cannot afford to look back. He cannot afford to take his eyes off the plow and off the work that is in front of him. That's where his work is, and he has to look forward, and he has to remain focused on what is in front of him. If he doesn't do that, going to make a mess of the field, and it will not be in a position that is suitable for sowing crops in. Now this, of course, has spiritual application. To look back is for us to take our eyes off the Word of God. To look back is for us to take our eyes off Christ as He is set before us in His Word. For us to look back is for us to turn off the right path and fall instead into the ways of sin. That's the result of taking our eyes off the Word and taking our eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ. Not being people of God who are faithful in sticking to the Word of God and living lives that are spiritual, in which we consciously and daily depend on Christ through His Word and prayer. Then we fall into sin. That will be the result. So we are warned, don't look back. Don't take your eyes off Christ. Don't take your focus away from the Word of God. Don't return to the ways of sin. Put your hands on the plow. Follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Be committed to Him and His Word. And never, ever look back. Never. The sad thing is that some do look back. My Ilan na Buminov, point B under 2. They do that in either of two ways. Some look back. Atunko sa banal na kamamuhe. They look back with regard for godly life. First, they will be godly. From all appearances, at first, it seems that they are good members of the church, faithful, godly, obedient. They do the will of God. They are not openly sinful. Good members, we would say. But they hold on to the life of sin. They hold on to the life of ungodliness. They hold on to their former life. Their former life of being worldly and sinful. They never fully let go of the sins of youth. They go through life really trying to have one foot in the church and one foot still in the world. One foot sa iglesia and one foot sa mundo. That's what they try to do. They try to serve God and they try to serve the pleasures of the flesh. On Sunday you see them and you say, they're Christians. On Monday, Tuesday, Friday night you see them and you say, I don't see any Christianity in this person. One foot in the church, one foot in the world. The Word of God condemns that. Christ condemns that here. He says to us, don't think with fondness of your former life. Don't meditate upon the life of sin that is out there in the world. Don't think of that life of sin before you were brought to faith and salvation in Christ, in which, at least at that point in your life, you said, I had freedom. I could do what I wanted. Don't think of it that way. Don't. Sin is bondage. Yes, you may have been free to do whatever you wanted. There is no freedom in sin. But there is bondage, there is guilt, there is shame, there is the wrath of God that rests upon the sinner. Don't look back to the ways of sin. The Word of God has a very powerful condemnation of that in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. Let's look at that. 2 Peter 2, verse 22. There we read some English, but it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire, in the mud. That second illustration is certainly one that we're familiar with. The pig loves to be in the mud. So you take a pig out of the mud and you wash it, it goes right back into the mud again. But then there is another one. The dog is turned to his vomit again. Maybe you've seen that. A rather strange thing. A dog throws up, vomits, and then it goes back and it eats up its own vomit. The Word of God says to us, that's what it means to look back. That's what it means to turn your back on Christ. That's what it means to reject the Word of God and to turn from the truth and to abandon the church of Jesus Christ. You're just like that dog. Throws up and he goes back and returns to his vomit. Would be like us feeling sick. So we throw up, put it in a bag, and we save it. Because we're going to eat it for breakfast tomorrow morning. That's how graphically the Word of God points out the sin of looking back from following the Lord Jesus Christ. Then secondly, there are those who look back on Christ not just by how they live, not just by a simple life, going back to the ways of sin, but also by abandoning the church of Christ. That sometimes happens too. They do not remain committed to the church and to the truth. And it sometimes may be tempting for us to do that too. Tempting to leave a church. Tempted perhaps to leave this church. Tempted to leave this church because you want to try a different church. You want to try a church that is a little more exciting. This one seems too old-fashioned. You will admit, yes, the truth is here, and the truth is faithfully put here, but I want to go somewhere else where there is not the truth, but the worship is more invigorating, more exciting. And so one abandons the church for that reason. Or some attempted to leave the church because of the people. They come to this congregation or to the church they are members of, and they say the people are not friendly enough. They do not include me in the life of the congregation. I'm ignored. The church has the truth. If the people are friendlier somewhere else, so I'm going to leave. Turn their back on Christ and His truth. Well, there are some who attempted to abandon the church because they fall in love with someone who doesn't go to this church, but goes to a different church, and she goes to another church. And it's not a true church, it's not a faithful church, the truth of the Word of God is not preached there. But you say, but she or he is such a wonderful person, and I love him, her, so much. that I'm going to go to that place. The truth is here, I know it, but I'm going to go somewhere else for the sake of the person I love. Such a person turns their back on the plow. They look back. They do not continue to follow Christ. And then there is the temptation as well to leave the church for the sake of work, income, a better life, a more promising future somewhere else. And making a decision about that that does not involve church membership, that does not involve knowing beforehand and seeking out ahead of time that there is a faithful, reformed, biblical church that I can be part of there. That sometimes happens too. Consideration of the church is a secondary thing. Consideration of the truth and of the Word of God and of Christ's Word being faithfully preached and being able to hear that Word of God every Sunday is really something you'll think about later. Priority being these other things. And you say, the truth is here, but work is elsewhere. The truth is here, but a more promising future is elsewhere. The truth is here, but for earthly reasons, I have to go somewhere else. The church is not the priority as it ought to be. All of those instances are examples of people who put their hand to the plow, but then they look back. They look back. And they veer off course. And they say, I will follow Christ, but I will do that in the future. I'm not ready to do it now. I will follow Christ, but first I have to leave for a while. I've got earthly things to attend to. I've got other things that are more important to me for now than Christ is, and His Word is, and His truth is. I'll be back one day. I will return. But for now, this is what I will do. They turn back from following the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I are warned not to do that, and not to be guilty of that sin. Nothing should come before Christ. Nothing should be more important than Christ. The child of God is one who puts his hand to the plow of Christ and His Word and His truth and His church and says, Christ first in my life. Christ's Word first in my life. Christ's truth first in my life. Christ's church first in my life. And in all decisions I make in life, none of those things come second or third or last, but always first. Not an afterthought, but the priority in my life and in all my thinking. That must be the approach of the child of God. And there is an incentive for us to be faithful. Notice in verse 62 that Christ says that someone who looks back is Hindi Karapadapat Sakaharian Nanjo. And literally, this means not useful. Someone who is not fit for the kingdom of God is someone who is not useful in the kingdom of God and depressed. The person who puts his hands to the plow and then looks back is someone who is not a front-line soldier in the spiritual battle of faith that we are called to live and fight. Someone who puts his hands to the plow and then looks back is not a light shining in the midst of the darkness of this world. Someone who puts his hands to the plow and then looks back is someone who could be compared to a piece of driftwood in the church, lifeless, producing no fruit, no evidence of spirituality and life. And the text is telling us Christ has no use in his church for those kinds of people. They may think, I can be useful to Christ. I will be useful to Christ. I'll be useful to Christ somewhere else rather than here in this church. I'll be useful as I give witness out there when I move elsewhere and even though I'm not in the true church anymore. Christ says no. Christ says in order for someone to be useful to me, they need to be in a faithful church, they need to have their hands on the plow, they need to hold that before them, they may never look back and may never forsake my church and me and my truth. Not useful to Christ's church and kingdom. So what this implies, of course, is that one who does put his hands to the plow and does not look back is fit for the kingdom of heaven, is useful in the kingdom of Christ. The text is saying, and Christ is teaching us that this, I can use those kinds of people in my church. I can. And I will. I will use those kinds of people and I will use them in my church in countless ways. I will use them as good, solid members in my church. I will use them in my church as those who give a good witness to those around them by being faithful members of the church. I will use them in my church as faithful husbands and wives and fathers and mothers in the church of Christ. I will use them in my church as those who can teach others in the congregation. I will use them in my church as office bearers who serve me in the congregation. I will use them in my church as members who give a godly example to the youth and the children of the congregation. Useful as a member and able to be a useful member because they put their hands to the plow and they keep them there and they don't look back and they remain as faithful, living members of Christ and of church. Christ is pleased to use them. Christ gives them the privilege of being used by him in his church. And that is an incentive to us to be faithful. Isn't it true, beloved, that there is nothing more important in life than to be useful and to have the privilege of being used by Christ in his church and in his kingdom? It's a privilege. It is. And it's something that we do out of gratitude to him. It's not a burden. It's a joy. The child of God is one who, when he is given that opportunity and privilege to be useful to Christ in his church and kingdom, says, and that's what I want to do, it is. I want to serve my Christ. He who laid down his life for me, he who did something that I cannot fathom, You went to the cross for me, unworthy sinner. And he gave his own life for me. And now he has brought me into his kingdom. And he says, you are useful to me. You, a worm, a speck of dust, are now useful to me. I make you useful. Child of God is thankful, beloved. And in that thanks, may we be faithful to our Lord and spiritually strong, committed members of his church. Follow Christ and never look back. Amen. Let us pray. O God and Father, may thy word again be a blessing to us as it is applied by the Holy Spirit, as we humble ourselves before it and receive it as the word that thou hast spoken to us and given us. Use it, O Lord, for the glory of thy great name.